It says in the Bible that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, I read to you two instances from Jesus' ministry. In the first one, he was approached by this centurion. And what Jesus comments about this centurion is his great faith. And if you listen to Jesus looking at this man and talking to this man, can you see that Jesus was pleased with him? This is very simple. Can you see that when Jesus met this centurion and he saw his faith, our Lord was pleased with him? He comments to those behind him, around him. He says, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And so we have this centurion who was so, he so understood who Jesus was, and he was so confident that he had the authority and power to do what he was asking. He said, you don't even need to come to my house. Just speak the word. And our Lord was pleased with him. He says, this is great faith. And yet, then the second incident that I read to you was about the disciples in the boat, in the storm, on the lake. And I ask you the question, was Jesus pleased with them? No, he wasn't pleased with them. He rebukes them. He says, oh, let me read the words. He says to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? That's not being pleased with them. He wasn't pleased at all. And it would do us good to ponder the disciples' reaction. They were experienced sailors and fishermen. They knew when a boat was about to sink. It says the waves were coming into the boat. But our Lord Jesus rebukes their fear because it was a result of their little faith. And I give you these examples because he was not pleased with them. This was not how they should have been. And so I say to you, when we come to the subject of faith, our subject today is faith again. Faith. And I say to you, you cannot please God without faith. And if your faith is weak and little, then that will not please the Lord Jesus. He will be pleased if your faith is strong. And I say to you, how important this is for you and for me. It is important for us that we please God in our lives. I ask you the question right at the beginning. The day will come when you are at the end of your life. Sooner or later, your life will be spent. My life will end. Your life will end. And you will have used the time that God has given you. And it's an important question. Have I lived by faith and pleased the Lord? Or have I displayed from day to day, month to month, year to year, little faith, weak faith, and displeased him? What I have been and how I have lived, will I earn his displeasure? It matters to you and it matters to me. I say to every one of us, it matters that we become strong men of faith. Or, if you like, strong women of faith. Even strong boys and girls of faith. Let me tell you this, the young ones. Right? Look, there have been young people in their teens who have distinguished themselves at an early age in serving the Lord. They haven't lived an ordinary life. They haven't looked like the unbelievers. They have lived, as it were, as examples of faith. I give you one that you know so well. Do you know how old David was when he took on Goliath? Well, you may say, well, I don't know exactly, but I'll tell you this. He was a young lad. He was a young lad. And young people, by faith, can serve the Lord and please him. Now, we're looking at this faith this morning. This is our subject. Now, last week, I spoke briefly about what faith is. And I gave you the example of Abraham. What an example of faith in Abraham. But I said to you, I have two other questions. And I want to move on to those this morning. The first question is, how do I get this faith? How do I get it? How do I obtain it? And I want to say three things to you in answer to that question. The question is, how do I obtain this faith that you are speaking about? And the first answer I give you is, you must ask for it. You must ask for it. In other words, it is necessary to come and to pray, and in your prayer, one petition must be, Lord, give me that faith, or Lord, increase my faith. You must come and you must ask for it. Why do I say that? I say that because we sang a hymn just now, and we sang words from Scripture in that hymn, that faith is what? Is a gift of God. Faith is something that God must give to you. You can't, as it were, make it for yourself. You have to come to God, your Heavenly Father, and ask for it. That is the only way to get faith. Because faith is a gift of God. In our Confession of Faith, that's the Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 14, verse 1, we read this. It is the work of the Spirit of Christ in their hearts. Okay? It's talking about faith. It's talking about saving faith. The kind of faith by which a man is saved, not the kind of faith that devils have. You see, James says, oh, the devils believe that. The devils know what you know. Just knowing it is nothing. This is the saving faith, is the faith that lays hold of Jesus Christ. And that's the kind of faith, that's the only kind of faith that is any good to any man. The faith that lays hold on Jesus Christ. Now then, the confession says, which comes out of Scripture, says this, it is the work of the Spirit of Christ in their hearts. And so what has to happen here is when we pray for faith, we are in the same breath, and we must also pray for the Holy Spirit. We need faith, we need Him, we need the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And we must ask for Him. Jesus says it in Luke chapter 11, He says, the Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. So, if you realize this morning, say, well, one thing I've learned this morning is that I need this faith, and along with that, I need the Holy Spirit, and I know what I need to do. I need to get down on my knees and ask God for Him, and ask God for it. In another place, James says, does anyone lack wisdom? Is any one of you feeling that you're not wise enough to cope with the trials of this life? Are you struggling under persecution or temptation? Are you realizing in your life that you lack wisdom? He says, let him ask God. And you know, he says, God gives to all who ask him. He means liberally, generously. And he doesn't upbraid. He doesn't send you away. It's amazing, way in which God approaches us. He comes to us and he says, look, you need these things, okay? You need my Spirit. You're not going to get anywhere without the Holy Spirit. You have to be born again of the Holy Spirit. You see, a man can't save himself. He has to come to God and say, God, my Father, I know I can't save myself. I can't even generate faith in myself. So I need it. I need it. And the Lord says to us, when you realize you need the Spirit, you need him. When you realize that you need faith, when you realize that you need wisdom, he says, come and ask me. And when we come and ask him, we honor him. You know, there's honoring God in that. Say, God, I'm not up to it. I can't solve my own problems. I need to come to you. And he says, God gives generously. So there we are. That's the first thing. You must ask. You must ask. Let one of your prayers be, Lord, give me this faith. Or, Lord, increase my faith. The Bible talks about the blessings of a child of God. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. In other words, you need the work of the Holy Spirit. Jeremiah looks at our privileges. He says, they will all be taught of God. They will all be taught of God. The Apostle John, in his first letter, he says to the church, you have the anointing of the Holy One. And later on, he says, he who believes in the Son, this is not exact words, he says, he has the witness in himself. Do you know what that is? To have the witness of God in your own heart. Well, this is the first thing we must do. We must ask for faith. And then the second thing that we must do, remember, I'm asking the question, how do I get this faith? The second part of my answer is this. You must get the Word of God. You must get the Word of God. If you want to get faith, you must get the Word of God. Now let me tell you, you already have it. You already have it. It's not something that's away from you. You have it. Most of you have Bibles. And in the Bible, the Holy Spirit has put these words on this page for us. The Bible is God's word to us. You already have the preaching of the Word of God. You have it. You have the Bible. You have regular ministry. In fact, I go one step further and I say, you already have what's known as the means of grace. Okay? If you're not familiar with that phrase, the means of grace, it means you already have the preaching of the word, you have the sacraments, that is the Lord's Supper and baptism, and you have prayer. Those are the principal means of grace. You have them. They're not something, as it were, that's been withheld from you. God has given you these things. He's given you his word. He's given you the preaching. He's given you the means of grace. You have them. But let me say this. When I say to you, you must get the word of God, what I mean is, you have to transfer it from there. It has to come from the page, and it has to come into your soul, into your heart, and into your mind. The Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit uses the ordinary means of grace. When we look at the Bible, when we read the Bible, when we listen to preaching, when we come to the Lord's Supper, when we come to a baptism, when we come to prayer, the Holy Spirit uses that to take the Word of God from, as it were, outside you and to put it inside you. Okay? That's how you get the Word of God. In Romans 10, let me just turn to it a moment. In case you think I'm making it up, listen. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Listen to what Paul says. He says, Romans 10:17, he says, so then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What he means there is the word of God preached. That's what he's talking about. The word of God declared to his people. So I say to you, our business, first of all, our business is to ask God for faith. Our second business is to get the word of God. We must make it our possession. Somewhere the psalmist says, your word I have hid in my heart. That's what we must do. Now listen, let me spell it out. Let me spell it out, particularly for younger people or those who've never heard this before. This is what you must do to get the word of God. First, you must attend the services of the church faithfully, where the word of God is read and preached. If you're not here, you can't hear it. And it is a colossal mistake that some people make. They think that they can pop in and out for the odd service. That is not wise. Imagine, have you ever watched a film and you've watched the first 10 minutes and fallen asleep? Then you wake up 20 minutes later and you don't know what's going on. And ministry is a little bit like that. You hear the first sermon, well, you missed two then. And the fourth sermon, you have no idea what's happened in between. Attending faithfully is fundamental. It's like foundational. And then secondly, it is essential to stay awake while the word of God is read and preached. And when I say stay awake, I mean and with concentration. You know, this, as it were, this 20 minutes, this half an hour, is vital. I don't think a doctor in a surgery has ever had a patient fall asleep when he's just told him, well, you've got cancer, but we can deal with it if you take these steps. Can you imagine anyone falling asleep? What did you say? No, your life is in the balance, isn't it? And these things are matters of life and death. A wise person does not fall asleep when they're hearing matters of life and death. So the word must be concentrated upon. And I would say to you, this morning we haven't had distraction, but very often in a preaching service, there's distraction. People come in, perhaps a child cries or something, and heads turn. And in that moment, you are missing the word of God. It doesn't matter if someone falls, a child is crying out there, or someone comes. That's not what matters. Focus and concentration matters. I did hear of one preacher who had a distracted congregation. And after about three people came in late and they all turned to see, he said to them, I'll tell you what I'll do. The next person who comes in late, I'll describe them to you. So you don't have to turn around and look at them. And he got his point across. But can you see the point? You know, these are matters of life and death, and we cannot afford to get snippets and bits. Okay? So a tight distraction. Then thirdly, when you've heard the word of God, you've heard it, okay? Ask yourself this question. Have I understood that this morning? Did I understand what was said? And if not, come and complain. All right? I'm inviting you to come and complain at me. If you say, I didn't understand what he was saying, let me know. Because we're not just going through the motions. We need to know so that we can speak. Whoever's preaching, he can speak and you can understand. Ask the question, have I understood that this morning? Did I get it? Ask this question, what can I take home this morning that I didn't have before? Now, let me say this, sometimes a sermon doesn't give you much new teaching. And that's part of ministry is to repeat what you already know. Okay? So to be sure, even the Apostle Peter did this. In his second letter, he said, I'm telling you what I told you before. Right? Because in a minute, I'm going to die, and I don't want you, after I'm dead, to forget what I said. You see, so preaching involves repetition. But it is still appropriate to ask the question, when I went home today, did I take anything home with me? Have I benefited that much? Has there been any benefit this morning for me? Now, you may benefit in one way, you may benefit in another way, but God forbid that we go out with no benefit. And even worse, with no understanding. So, I say to you, attend, concentrate, and ask that question, have I understood this morning? Then, fourthly, I've nearly finished this, fourthly, do not forget it. Do not forget it. And what? How can we stop ourselves forgetting what was preached? I'm not asking you now to remember the points of the sermon. That's not what I'm talking about. Oh, point number one was this, point number two. No, it's the message, it's the substance, it's the essence that we must not forget. It's the thing that will live in your heart till the day you die. Do not forget it. Now, how can you not forget it? Well, the answer is to go over it again at home. Okay, you need to go over what you've heard again at home. You can do this. You can write it out. When I was an 11-year-old, it was, I used to go home and write the sermon out again. And in those days, there were these terrible manual typewriters. The older people remember those manual typewriters nearly killed you. No nice laptops, right? But I used to type out the notes because I wanted to get what I'd been taught. You can write it out. You can talk to a dear friend. Have you got a dear friend? I hope you have. If not, find one. And talk about what you just heard. I heard this. You can go over it. And you can certainly pray about it. Pray about it. If there's a message in the Word of God to you, and you go home and forget it, well, what good is that? But if you go home and say, Lord, I must bring this before your throne. I must pray about this as you can this morning. You can go home and at least this morning you can go home and say, Lord, I need faith. Lord, I want your Holy Spirit. And yes, Lord, I need wisdom, the wisdom found in your word. You can do that. Pray over the word. It's called meditation. During the week, can we find time? We are living in a world that's rushing about. And there's a million and one things pressing in on you. Can you find time to meditate on the word? And ask yourself the question, am I sure about this? Am I sure? I heard this morning. Am I sure that's the truth? Okay. And then fifthly, put it into practice. You have to put it into practice. Okay. Now, what I'm asking for really is this. If you want to be strong men and women of faith, boys and girls of faith, if you want to be pleasing to the Lord, what you need in your life is a full engagement with the Word of God. A full engagement. Let me say this to you from Scripture. The Lord has put two special warnings to those who hear the Word of God. If you read the whole Bible, you'll find this time and time again. There are two things that the Lord warns his people about when you hear the word preached. Do you know what they are? The first one, forgetfulness. You know what the second one is? Hardening the heart. Hardening the heart. Today, when you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Okay. Now, what does a person do when they harden their heart? They basically start saying no. If you go back to these steps that I just asked you for, I will not attend faithfully. I will not. And I will not concentrate. I will enjoy my daydream dreams. I am not going to ask those questions that he just given me. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to talk about it to a friend. I'm not going to pray about it, and I'm certainly not going to put it into practice. You see, you can go all the way down the line saying, no, 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 and your relationship with God will be rotten. Rock bottom. I tell you, Scripture comes and says to people who harden their hearts, you need to be very careful, because when a person starts hardening their heart, you know what happens next? God hardens their heart. And then they can't get out of it. They're stuck. They're ruined. Okay? So, you know, this is something that the Lord is concerned about for his people. Beware of forgetting. Beware of hardening your heart. Say, I don't care about that. Right. And I won't say any more about that, but there's a third thing. So I said, look, ask for faith. And then, have I got time for this? Third thing, right. I said, ask for faith. I said, get the word of God. And then the third thing I want to deal with very briefly is how to use it. How do you use faith? Do you know how to use it? We've been talking about a shield. Well, you've got to pick the shield up. But what does that really mean? Well, in essence, it means that you must repeat what you know. You must repeat it back. Okay? Especially in the face. You see, when you're living your life, you're going to face doubts. You're going to face difficulties. You're going to face severe trials. All kinds of things are going to happen. And in every one of those circumstances, you have to repeat back what you believe. Okay, let me give you some examples. I mentioned a preacher. I've mentioned him twice. The third time, I'll try not to do this again. There was a preacher who every time he came into the pulpit, right, there are 1, 2, 3 steps there. He would stop on every step. And he would repeat, I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Now, why was that man doing that? Because he was about to preach the word of God. And he knew that everything depended on the Holy Spirit opening the heart. He could preach and waste his breath unless the Holy Spirit carried the word into the soul and persuaded the person. So he was saying, it's like this. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Let me talk to you about Joshua. You know what Joshua had to do of old? He had to lead Israel's armies into battle. I don't think there are many of us who've been in the army, or certainly not been in active service. What do you think Joshua was saying to himself when he saw the hordes of Canaanites in front of him, armed to the teeth, and have to kill them? What do you think? Well, you think it's a nice sunny day today. Nice day to die on the battlefield. I'll tell you what he was saying to himself repeatedly. The words that God said to him, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Do you know what Joshua had to do to go into battle? He had to say that to himself as he advanced towards the enemy. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You see what he's doing? This is faith. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I have that promise. God will not break his promise. He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And Joshua, by faith, gained the victory. When you fall into sin, how many of you know that there are times when you've fallen into sin and your conscience is pricked? And I hope you do know that experience, because if you don't, you're dead. Right? And when your conscience accuses you, what do? You repeat the promises of God. You come to Calvary and you say, the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. When you are dying, the day will come, sooner or late, when we will be dying. And dying is a great trial of faith. When Jim was dying, he said on one occasion, not long before he died, he said, the devil's got my body, but he hasn't got my mind. And what do you do when you see your body, you're about to breathe your last? your faith is tried. What do you say? I am the resurrection and the life. That's what you say. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And you repeat that truth. He is the resurrection and the life. He who believes in him will never die. Will never die. I will raise him up on the last day. Can you see what you're doing? When Martin Luther was often attacked by the devil in his experience, and it's reported one day that he threw an inkpot across the room, because in his mind the devil was in that corner of the room, and the ink went all over the wall, but he said, I am baptized. In other words, God has put his name on me, and the devil will not have me. Can you see what's going on? Men of faith have repeated back what they believed and they know. So I ask you, these are the three things. You must get faith, so you have to ask for it. You must get the word of God in here. You must get it. And thirdly, you must practice it. You must put it into practice. We must be active believers. James says, faith without works is dead. Is dead. Well, this, brothers and sisters, is the shield of faith. Amen.